Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the largest online nursery in the USA? With more than 10,000 plant varieties and millions of satisfied customers. I have their trees and plants at my home, and they're fantastic. Have you had your fair share of landscaping woes and wasted weekends at crowded nurseries? Finding fast-growing trees will be like stumbling upon a hidden treasure, believe me. With fast-growing trees, it's different. From fruit trees to houseplants, they have it all delivered right to your doorstep. Plus, their plant experts are always available for advice. And here's the best part. This spring, they have up to half off on select plants. And my audience can get an extra 15% off by using promo code Bill at checkout. So please go to fastgrowingtrees.com, use promo code Bill at checkout. Everything is expensive these days, you know that. The government is printing trillions of dollars in consumer prices higher than ever. If the government continues its printing and spending, the dollar could continue its free fall and lose its coveted role as the world reserve currency. Let's hope that doesn't happen. But there are a few things you can do right now. American Hartford Gold can show you how to protect your money, your retirement, your hard-earned savings against inflation by helping you diversify a portion of your portfolio into physical gold and silver. Start with a short phone call, and they can have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or put inside your 401k or IRA. So please call or text them right now. Tell them Bill O'Reilly sent you. Call 877-444-GOLD, 877-444-GOLD, or text GOLD to 65532. Again, that's 877-444-GOLD, or text GOLD to 65532.
Welcome to the No Spin News Weekend Edition.
Now to Georgia. So the district attorney of Fannie Willis, you all know, had an affair with her boyfriend, Nathan Wade, who just happens to be her top prosecutor that she hired for a lot of money. And then Wade and Fannie go all over the place on trips. And yeah, this looks really bad, really bad. But Fannie says, hey, I didn't do anything wrong. Go.
I don't feel like my reputation needs to be reclaimed. Let's say it for the record. I'm not embarrassed by anything I've done. We were still doing the case in the way that it needed to be done. I don't feel like we've been slowed down at all. I do think that there are efforts to slow down this train, but the train is coming.
Well, that train was almost derailed and still might be because of all these shenanigans down in Fulton County, Georgia. And joining us is from Atlanta. It's Congressman Barry Loudermilk. He is the chairman of the Subcommittee on Oversight in the House of Representatives. Mr. Loudermilk is looking into Fannie Willis, and we're pleased to have him on the No Spin News this evening. So why are the feds involved in looking at Fannie at this point, Congressman?
Well, Bill, thanks first for having me on. Well, sure. This has been part of a bigger investigation that my subcommittee has been leading at the direction of then Speaker Kevin McCarthy to look into what really happened on January 6th, how was there a security failure, but also the select committee on January 6th. So what led us into Fannie Willis was during our investigation, we uncovered information that the select committee on January 6th was actively working with Fannie Willis, sharing information during the course of their investigation. Now, this is highly unprecedented. It's not unusual for a House committee or a select committee to turn over a criminal referral to the Department of Justice or someone where at the conclusion of an investigation. But they were working with her during the investigation, sharing information. What's concerning to a lot of people is we have uncovered irrefutable evidence that this committee, the select committee, was suppressing any evidence that didn't line up with their preconceived narrative about Donald Trump organizing and executing the riots on January 6th.
Okay, and so let me stop you there, because we want to keep it very, very vivid here, very simple. So Liz Cheney's committee, and, you know, we all know about that. And right. I think it's been established they did suppress information. Yes. Anything that was exculpatory, they didn't put, you know, they put it at the end and they diminished it. But this is a state beef in Georgia. And when you have a federal entity, the January 6th committee, House of Representatives, cooperating with a state beef, that is highly unusual, is it not?
It is. It is. I mean, it's I haven't seen this happen before, but also engaging multiple times, including with Miss Cassidy Hutchinson. If you remember, she's the one who came up with the sensational stories about
we debunked her
having the steering wheel.
Right.
She was working directly with them as well.
She was working with Fonnie Willis, right? So yes. We debunked Miss Hutchinson. I mean, it was a load of garbage, and she made a lot of money on a book off it too. Now, there have been reports that Nathan Wade, the boyfriend, the top prosecutor for Miss Willis and her paramour, visited the White House. Did you look into that? Do you have anything on that?
We are in cooperation with Jim Jordan and Jamie Comer, who's chair of the Oversight Subcommittee. We're looking into that aspect. We have multiple jurisdictional boundaries there, but Jim Jordan and I have teamed up together. He's looking into the visits to the White House while I'm looking into what information was given to Fonnie. And did she receive any of the exculpatory information that we ended up turning up that you never saw?
But it would be very unusual for a state prosecutor, okay, Nathan Wade, to get admittance into the White House, to talk to the White House. That looks like the Biden White House was coordinating. And that would be, talk about impeachable, that would be a huge story if it happened. Did it happen? Do you have evidence that Wade went to the White House and talked to White House people?
According to my conversations with Jim Jordan, who's leading that aspect of it, he believes that it did happen. I don't have the evidence myself, but you're right. I mean,
that's big.
And your poll numbers are showing the American people know that this is politically driven.
Well, that's true. But if Jordan, that's a headline for Jordan, and I'd like to have it defined. Now, the trial about the conspiracy, Trump is charged with the special counsel, all right, Smith, that he was involved with trying to overthrow the government on January 6th. I don't believe he's going to be convicted because there is exculpatory evidence all day long. But you have centered in on the valet to the White House. Tell us about that.
Well, we started looking early on, trying to look through all the documentation the Select Committee turned over to us, and we found out that we had a lot of missing documentation. We did find some transcribed interviews have been sent to the White House. Now, these were White House employees that had direct access to the president and the vice president on January 6th. Now, some of the crazy tales that we got out of Mrs. Hutchinson included the engagements with the valet. The president threw food onto the floor. He was so angry about things, as well as that he agreed that Mike Pence should be hanged, and several comments that were supposedly made, according to Ms. Hutchinson. Well, under the valet's testimony, which was what we released was heavily redacted because these were military personnel that were apolitical, and they're just trying to protect the identity and understand that. But there is enough information in the unredacted portions to show that that wasn't the case. And this is the person who was side by side with President Trump that day, who never heard him make these statements that, yes, Mike Pence should be hung, or called him some very vulgar names. And so it basically debunked that portion of her testimony.
And that was under oath, right? His testimony was under oath, the valet?
Exactly. And when you include that with Tony Ornato, who was the deputy chief of operations at the White House, his missing testimony, which we made public a couple of weeks ago, totally countered the narrative that President Trump did not order the National Guard to be readied, which he did, and he He authorized up to 10,000 troops, but also the driver of the SUV. We have his testimony that we'll release sometime soon, where he actually said none of that in the grabbing of the steering wheel or choking a Secret Service agent.
That was a bunch of crap. Well, logistically, it was impossible. Do you have any information given to your subcommittee that Trump did some stuff he should not have done?
The only thing that we've uncovered is here where he was angry. And, you know, you can understand that. I mean, who wouldn't be angry in a situation where you felt like the election was stolen from you? But nothing that rose to the level of impeachment or even ethical violation or a legal violation. Right. Everything that we've uncovered is he followed the law. Yeah, he was upset. He may have said some things.
When the trial gets underway, you would expect that Trump will be acquitted and Jack Smith will be embarrassed.
I believe so. If there was, it's an honest look at the evidence. There's enough exculpatory evidence. We have just released recently that there's no way that you could hold him accountable for what happened on January 6th, which means we've gone 3 years now without actually looking at what really happened and the security failure at the Capitol, which the Select Committee never looked at all, or at least never reported.
Yeah, I'd like to know about Nancy Pelosi's role. Now, you have been attacked, and you well know you have been attacked, for doing all of this in defense of Donald Trump. One of the charges were you were in the Capitol on January 5th, the day before the riot, doing something there, wandering around. Do you want to address that?
Yeah, this was one of the most ridiculous things that ever happened. What they claimed is that I gave a tour of the Capitol on January 5th to some of the insurrectionists, a reconnaissance tour. Far from the truth. Even the Capitol Police exonerated us in that, but that didn't stop the Select Committee.
So it's just total BS.
It's story.
Where did that story come from?
That came from Liz Cheney, from what we've uncovered in our investigation. It was some people that visited my office and stayed in the Capitol office buildings the whole time, never got into the Capitol, and they weren't even in the Capitol on January 6th. Most of them just stayed down by the Ellipse and in the mall and then got on their bus and went back home to Georgia. None of them were in the Capitol. None of them were.
I believe you. I just need to get everything on the record. The final thing is there is this gallows thing. I got to get this stuff. So apparently somebody built a gallows. What is this now?
Yeah, and it's true. About 6 o'clock in the morning on January 6th, about five people show up. It's still under the cloak of darkness, and they literally build a gallows. And supposedly this gallows that the left claims was to hang Mike Pence when he doesn't do what Trump wanted him to do. Well, the interesting thing about that is Mike Pence never told anybody whether or not he was going to stop the certification until in the afternoon. And the gallows were set up at 6 o'clock in the morning. My question is, how did these stay up all day long and into the
evening? How did they get built in the first place? Don't they have people outside? All right. Are you guys investigating the security breakdown in the Capitol? Is that one of your purviews?
It is. Yeah. That is something we've really taken a hard look at. We've uncovered that there was intelligence failures. Intelligence was given to the Capitol Police Intelligence Division of the pending attack, but that intelligence was suppressed. It never got passed along to the chief of police. Right. That really hindered a lot of the preparedness being ready. And we also have a lot of political influence on the Capitol Police. We have had testimony, and I'm working to get verification on it, that the Secret Service offered fencing to Nancy Pelosi to be put up prior to January 6th based on the intelligence they had. She turned it down because she didn't like the optics. The irony is, on the evening of January 6th, she really liked the optics of having a security fence around the Capitol with razor wire and National Guard around for months. So, you know, she didn't want to prepare, but she really liked the idea of the optics being up to show.
I think Pelosi's got some deficit. Are you going to testify in the trial, by the way? You think you're going to be called by Trump's defense lawyers?
I don't know. The only thing that we have received in the past was they wanted to subpoena for some of the documents we had, but the judge dropped the subpoena. But they have full access to whatever we have. We're making it public.
Really appreciate it, Congressman. If you get anything else, you know, we're always interested in this story. It's a huge story for the American people, and we thank you very much for your time today. Sorting through your expenses, estimated payments, and all those tax deductions can be overwhelming, might even lead to a failure to file and failure to pay penalties that pile up on your tax debt. The attorneys at Tax Network USA have been lifesavers for many Americans. Their team has successfully saved clients more than $1 billion in tax debt, a billion. Whether you're in the hole for $10,000 or $10 million, they are ready to help. The expert attorneys and tax professionals at Tax Network USA are equipped to secure the best settlement for you and help you resolve all tax cases. So please go to taxnetworkusa.com/bill, or you can call 1-800-245-6000. These debt relief programs are expected to change, so get started now. Please go to taxnetworkusa.com/bill, or you can call 1-800-245-6000. Tell them Bill O'Reilly sent you. Spring is the perfect time to make smart financial moves like getting life insurance to protect your family. Did you know that 46% of Americans expect to leave behind debt? Policy Genius Life Insurance can cover those debts like mortgages, credit cards, car loans, college costs. In our Smart Life segment, understand that life insurance gets pricier with age, and work coverage may fall short. Policy Genius simplifies by comparing quotes from top companies and ensuring unbiased advice. Their award-winning agents are ready to assist. So don't wait. Spring into action and secure your family's future. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 a year for $1 million of coverage. Head to policygenius.com to get your free life insurance quotes. That's policygenius.com.
You're listening to the No Spin News Weekend Edition.
There is a case you should know about. I think you probably have heard about it. This happened last May. All right. So a man named Daniel Penny, who was a college student, okay, was on the subway. And he encountered a man named Jordan Neely, 30 years old. Penny's 24. Neely was in the subway screaming things like, someone is going to die today, according to eyewitnesses. Okay? Now, Penny reached the rank of sergeant in the Marine Corps, so he knew what he was doing physically. He encountered Neely, got him in a hold around his neck, and Neely died. Alvin Bragg charged Penny, 24, again, former Marine, with second-degree homicide and other charges. And the trial is October 8th. Now, this has caused outrage in the city of New York that he was tried for anything. But he has to go through the process. Penny does. But joining us now is Penny's defense attorney, Thomas Kenneth, law firm of Reiser Kenneth. A couple of facts about you, counselor. You took the case after a Give, Send, Go fund was set up. It's raised more than $3 million, so you're getting paid. Your firm's getting paid. Nothing wrong with that. All right? But people were generous enough to help Daniel Penny. So as you go into the trial, it's going to come up fast, 6 months from now, less. Have you seen all the discovery in the case so far? Have you seen everything that the police have?
At this point, we have very voluminous discovery. I'll point out that we originally took Mr. Penny's case on as pro bono because both my partner, Stephen Razor, and I are Iraq war veterans, and Mr. Penny being a Marine. And we set up the Give, Send, Go campaign within the firm. Of course, we never knew, we could never know it was going to be as successful as it was. It wound up taking off and raising millions of dollars.
So you have not seen what Bragg's office is going to present, even though they had to present it to a grand jury. You're privy to that, right?
We're privy. I mean, we first of all, we saw the transcripts of the whole grand jury presentation, about 550 pages of testimony, from including about a dozen individuals who were on the train. And that was probably the most eye-opening thing.
Let me stop you there because I want to walk through this. Did any of the individuals in the subway car, according to the grand jury testimony, say that your client, Daniel Penny, was hostile, aggressive, should not have done what he did? Did they have witnesses that are going to come in and say, hey, Penny killed him and he shouldn't have done it?
They don't. The closest they have to that is one individual who has approaching 50 prior criminal convictions, had just been convicted and sentenced for bludgeoning one of his friends with a baseball bat about a year
before.
That's
all they have.
He was not in the subway car, but walked up
so they
as
have
the incident was already. Yeah.
According to the grand jury testimony, they have nothing. They have nobody pointing a finger at your client. Why then did the grand jury indict?
So those who understand the grand jury process, and I've been practicing criminal law as a prosecutor and defense attorney for over 20 years in this city, the standard that a grand jury applies is reasonable cause. That's lower than the standard a police officer would need to summons you on the street for a petty offense. Moreover, a grand jury is comprised of 23 individuals. Only 12 of those 23 have to vote to indict, unlike a criminal trial where you obviously need a unanimous verdict. In addition, in a grand jury, the defense plays no role. The only time a defense attorney would be anywhere near the grand jury would be if the defendant is testifying, which almost never happens.
With 500 pages of testimony and no one pointing the finger at your client as being the aggressor or out of line here, it seems to me that it's almost impossible. But it is New York City, okay? And this is not really America anymore. Now, on your side, you're going to be able to bring in a bevy of witnesses, I assume. They're going to say they feared for their life, that they thought this Jordan Neely was a dangerous character and that your client, Penny, did the right thing in protecting them. I assume you have that locked down, right?
Absolutely. It's overwhelming. I mean, it's locked down, one, because it's already been testified to in the grand jury, so no one could run away from it, not that they'd want to. And secondly, I mean, it's really going to be the district attorney, it's going to be incumbent upon them to call these witnesses. And if they don't, then obviously we have subpoena power.
Yeah,
so we're not going to have any issue with
witnesses.
That regard.
Okay. How many people approximately do you have that are going to testify that Daniel helped them? How many?
There are, as I said, there are approximately a dozen witnesses, give or take a couple, that
so
are going to tell you know, overwhelmingly.
I got it. So you have, and
of course,
going in October, 12 Americans that are going to say, we were afraid of this guy. He was at the level where anything could have happened. And you have one convicted felon who wasn't even on the train saying the opposite. So it seems to me that any district attorney faced with on the record, because all this on the record, would drop the case. Doesn't that seem to you that any honest district attorney would?
Particularly in light of what we've seen in just in the last few weeks, right? You know, the incident in Brooklyn, you know, before that there were the shootings in the subways in the Bronx, and in the immediate aftermath of this incident, about a week later, there was a case in Brooklyn. So, you know, you would hope, and I still hope, I still have some hope that somehow, some way, the cooler heads will prevail in this case, won't have to go to trial.
Could the judge in the case dismiss it before it goes to trial?
So we have already submitted and had the judge rule on motions to dismiss. They were denied, obviously, or we still wouldn't be here. But you have to remember, the judge, and I like the judge in this case, I've tried cases in front of him before, he's a very good judge, but he is constrained by the same legal standard that the grand jury is constrained by. So he has to review it based on that standard. And you know, the old cliche, you can indict a ham sandwich. It may be a cliche, but it's pretty accurate. So, you know, getting an indictment dismissed is next to impossible.
Remember, and I'm sure you do, Bragg pulled this in a bodega owner and charged him, and it was obvious because they had it on
Jose tape, Alba.
Right, that the bodega owner was defending himself against an armed criminal. And Bragg charged him, Alba, but then dropped it because of the public outcry. And I think the public outcry on Penny is going to be even worse. So here's the final question. And I don't want you to be a psychiatrist, but certainly you're a savvy defense attorney. The villain here, in addition to the deceased, Jordan Neely, okay, is Alvin Bragg, the district attorney. He didn't have to do this. Do you have any idea why he's doing it?
You know, I've been asked these questions before. I ran against D.A. Bragg in 2021. We have, you know, stark differences as we view the criminal justice system. But I'd like to think that Alvin Bragg is a decent human being. I can't opine on why this case is going forward and so many others aren't. And to some extent, look, you know, from my position, I got a case to defend, and I'm not doing my client any favors by, you know, pontificating on why a case may be going forward.
You don't want to bash.
But as I said before, you know, I do still hold out hope, and maybe aspirational, it probably is, that, you know, somehow there'll be an off ramp here.
Well,
I don't know what
Bragg's
that is.
He's going to be embarrassed, but I don't think Bragg cares at this point. I mean, he's been the worst district attorney in the history of this city. And it's not even close, by the way. The amount of horrific crime on his watch. I mean, you're looking at, you know, we're being compared to Haiti here in New York City. That's how violent and bad the city is at this point.
We saw that. We saw that just last night. And I'm look, if I hope, if nothing else, if the two sides of the political spectrum can't agree on anything else, can we at least come together now with the death of a hero NYPD cop in cold blood in Queens yesterday, and come together and say, look, you know, this progressive new age criminal justice experiment just doesn't work. And let's put it in the ash heap of history and move on. And we'll argue about everything else there is to argue about in the world.
That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. These people will never admit a mistake ever. And I know that from, you know, 25 years of experience. All right, Counselor, we really appreciate your time. It's nice of you to come on and explain the case to the international and national audience who may not be up to speed on it. And please keep us posted every step of the way. I do think there is a good chance that this will not go to trial. It's a guess, but Bragg, if he loses this case, it's just going to be a very embarrassing. That's going to be the final nail for him. And I think he knows that. But I could be wrong. All right, Counselor, thanks again. We really appreciate it.
Born from the tragedy of 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been delivering on its promise to do good and never forget the sacrifices of America's greatest heroes. Heroes who put their lives on the line to protect our country and our communities. Heroes like Bristol, Connecticut Police Sergeant Dustin DeMonte. After responding to a domestic violence incident, he sustained fatal gunshot wounds. He left behind his expectant wife and two children. Thanks to the generosity of people like you, Tunnel to Towers paid the mortgage on the DeMonte family home, lifting a financial burden. As his loved ones mourned the decorated officer's loss, they welcomed a miracle, the child he would never get to meet. So many families need your help. Please help America's heroes and their young families. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good in their honor. 95 cents out of every dollar you donate goes to their programs. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is the No Spin News Weekend Edition.
Joining us now from Florida, Bernie Goldberg. You know him. You love him. Well, you might love him. Some people do. Some people don't. It's dicey, as they say. Anyway, he runs BernardGoldberg.com, and I have a beef with that website that I'm going to tell you about after the interview. So,
a beef with the website?
I do. And you're, and I'm going to lay it on you in a little while.
My so mind is going to be on that the whole time we talk here. Yeah, but go ahead.
Okay. You'll be able to handle it. So, Ron McDaniel, I saw some of your coverage, John. I mean, you know, this is ridiculous. But the bigger story, and I talked about this for an hour with Sean Hannity on his radio program today. We have it on BillO'Reilly.com. Is that NBC News will never come back from this. It's like CNN. Remember when CNN was a trusted source of news information? All over the world. That's gone. All right, it's the lowest rated news agency on television now. And they destroyed themselves by hating Trump. NBC now is going to follow CNN. Or am I wrong?
I think you're wrong in this regard. There's a big difference, a very big difference, between whether NBC should be hurt by what it did to Ronna McDaniel, which was horrible, and whether they actually will be hurt. Liberals, progressives, and other Democrats aren't angry over what NBC did to Ms. McDaniels. They're not angry at all. They're happy about what NBC did to her. They're cheering about it. So, of course, NBC should be tarnished by what it did, by publicly humiliating her. Of course, they should be damaged and tarnished and all that, but I don't think they will be.
Well, wait a minute, though. You're talking about MSNBC, which programs exclusively for far-left loons. That's yeah. all they do. NBC News, this is Lester Holt, the Today Show, okay?
Right.
Dateline. They're going to be tarnished with the same brush here because the same executives that run that assassinated, you know, figuratively speaking, Ronna McDaniel. You haven't heard a word from Lester Holt or the women on the Today Show.
And you're not going to.
Right. Believe me, you're not going to. But anybody consuming information has to have some sign of awareness. And NBC is just going to be linked now because their own executives did this. There's no delineation between MSNBC and NBC. NBC News executives did it. Now it's going to be, oh, yeah, they're the left-wing network. And so you're writing off at least 50% of the country in potential viewership.
I think you're wrong about that, too, respectfully, Bill. And I think you're wrong because we're news junkies. We follow the news because that's what we do. I think ordinary Americans, and I use the word ordinary in the best sense, not in some pejorative sense, ordinary Americans don't think what Lester Holt does has anything to do with what Rachel Maddow does or what Morning, Scarborough does or any of the others. I think ordinary Americans who go about their lives, who aren't political junkies or news junkies, watch Lester Holt because they think he's a good anchor. They like him, whatever it is.
I disagree.
But I don't think there's any association.
And you know, when George Stephanopoulos at ABC attacked Nancy Mace with the rape thing, there was big trouble at ABC News because of that. Big trouble. Because ABC realized that people watching that interview were going to say, I've had enough. And I'm telling you, and we'll track it every month. NBC is going to be hurt by this. And they're never going to come back as a news agency for all Americans. Now
well,
I want to
say,
go ahead.
Let me say, I hope you're right.
I'm very rarely wrong, as you know. The bigger story is the blackball. So on March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, I wrote a column, and I think you read it, that this has been going on since 2016, that anybody who supported Donald Trump or said anything good about Trump at all was banished from not only news coverage on the networks, but entertainment coverage, late night coverage, morning coverage, whatever it may be. You were not welcome. This was not an accident. This was by design, and it's exactly the same thing that happened in the 1950s with the communist witch hunt. And interestingly enough, CAA, the big talent agency in Hollywood, dropped Ronna McDaniel as a client. Why? Why would they drop her? She didn't do anything. So they took her on. She signed a 2-year deal for hundreds of thousands of dollars. They took their commission. And then as soon as she got thrown overboard by NBC, CAA drops her. You know why they did it? I'm going to ask you. You know why they did it?
I do. It may not be why you think, but you go first.
No, you go first.
I think there's a broader issue than Ronald McDaniel. It's about how liberals have forgotten how to be liberal. These liberals you're talking about aren't liberals in the old sense of the word, meaning open-minded. We respect your right to say things, even if we disagree with them. These are illiberal liberals.
Then why would they take her on in the first place? Okay, they knew that she was former head of the Republican National Committee, and she sided with Trump in the election stuff. They knew it. They took her on anyway, and as soon as she gets in trouble, they dump her. Here's why they dumped her. Because a lot of their clientele, about 90% of it, is exactly the category that you described. They're happy about it. And they, CAA, didn't want to continue to represent her if they're going to lose clients, left-wing movie stars, TV people. So they said, get rid of her. That's why they did it.
Yeah, I don't want to go overboard with an exaggeration here, but these are Stalinist liberals.
You bet. That's not an exaggeration. That's exactly, and not only Stalin, but Mao, Hitler, the same playbook.
It's one thing if conservatives did that, because conservatives never had the reputation of, we're open-minded. Liberals brag about that BS. Liberals are so damn sanctimonious that they brag about how open-minded they are. And then we have all this. This makes
censorship,
them look like idiots.
Blackballing. Look, the cancel culture is solely in the left-wing precincts. That's who invented it. All right, let's get on to your website. So I'm perusing Goldberg's website, and this is to show you what kind of exciting guy I am. So I'm on Goldberg's website, and he's got a guy yelling about me, criticizing me, saying O'Reilly's arrogant. He said that if he had still been in the chair at 8 o'clock at Fox News, the Dominion lawsuit never would have happened. And instead of defending me, Goldberg, your first line is, Bill can get a little arrogant. You should have been all over that guy.
I didn't have anybody on the quote-unquote air. It was a commentator. You're wrong about everything you're saying today. Here's one. This guy posted a comment under a column that I wrote, a column that probably attacked liberals, and you'd agree with it. And he had a comment about you. Am I supposed to shut him down?
No, you're supposed to say you're ridiculous because what O'Reilly said was true, because he did the same thing. He did exactly.
What was the second sentence after I said that Bill can be seen as arrogant at times?
I don't know. You wandered off into you didn't address it. You wandered off into Bernie land. But what you could have said, if you had remembered, was that I, your humble correspondent, completely shut down the Barack Obama bogus birth certificate stuff on the Fox News channel. I did it single-handedly by sending people to the two newspapers in Honolulu who simultaneously on the same day printed the birth announcement. It would have been impossible to fake that. And that was the end of it, okay? So you could have said, I think you're wrong here. Bill has done this in the past. Shut down crazy conspiracy theory.
I did not say he was right.
No, you didn't say anything. You were Pontius Pilate. You washed your hands of it.
I threw him a bone and I said, I could see where some people might think that.
Are you telling me?
You can't tell me with a straight face that you don't think some people might think you're arrogant.
There's no validity to it.
Right now, I'm thinking you're arrogant.
Look, they can think whatever they want about me, and I don't care. But when I specifically say something like the Dominion thing never would have happened, Everybody knows that's true. That got no pushback from anybody at Fox News. None. Okay? Because they know that never would have happened. That cost them $1 billion by not having Mary there at 8 o'clock. But anyway, I wanted people to know that I do go to your website, and I'm scolding you for not defending me in a more fact-based way, because I know you criticize me when you think I'm wrong, and that's why we like you. All right, so it's BernardGoldberg.com. How easy is that? If I don't talk to you again.
I want to emphasize before we go, the second sentence after I said some people might see Bill as arrogant, I said Bill is a loyal friend. Loyal was the key word. You don't think that's a big deal?
No, I do, and I appreciate the compliment, but it had nothing to do with the accusation. It had nothing to do with this man. I think that you should try to guide your followers into a better place. That's what I'm saying. I want you to guide them.
Now I get it.
All right, Bernie Goldberg, everybody. Make him happy.
Let me apologize. I got to apologize. I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. I said that some people might see you as arrogant.
It's just beyond belief.
I don't know what I was thinking, Bill.
Hey, if I don't talk to you again, happy Passover. Enjoy it down in Florida.
And a very happy Easter.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Here's a gem from the No Spin News Vault.
So when Putin decided to invade Ukraine, which was ridiculously foolish, and that was on February 24th, 2022, okay, he hired the Wagner Group, not his own armed forces, to be the spear tip of the invasion. And the Wagner Group are ruthless. They don't take prisoners. They shoot everybody. They kill women and children. You know, it's the SS. That's what it is. No rules, no accountability, nothing. And they're paid very, very well. And a lot of the units are made up of criminals who Putin allows out of prison, violent criminals, to be in the Wagner Group. Well, anyway, on Friday, for whatever reason, and there's a many given, Prigozhin rebels against Putin, okay? And he turns his army around, and they go into Russia, and they capture a city of some size. And the word is they're going to march to Moscow to depose the Russian minister of defense. But they stop yesterday, Sunday, and there's some deal made. And again, nobody really knows the ins and outs of all of this because there's no reporting on it. It's not like reporters are doing it, but Belarus, which is a Putin satellite, brokered a deal where the Wagner Group would stop, and then Mr. Prigozhin would seek safe harbor in Belarus. Well, if I were Mr. Prigozhin, that's a little too close. So you wait and see what happens to him. It depends who goes first. Him or Putin, they're both going to go. Okay, so we have the story. This just happened. But the repercussions for us, you might be in there, Oklahoma watching me, or Montana, or British Columbia, or Japan, or wherever. This affects you, this whole thing. And let me tell you why. Okay, so in the beginning of this Russian invasion of Ukraine, I knew it wasn't going to work. because I know a lot about the world and the news. And here's what I said on January 31st. Go. Putin's on the ropes now inside Russia. We don't get reporting because, unlike here, if you are a Russian citizen and you bring this into a demonstration, you're in jail. I think Putin may go down this year because of this war, because he's losing it so badly. But the only way he goes down is if the Russian people take him out. All right, so that was 6 months ago, and it wasn't a Russian people. I could not have predicted the Wagner Group would turn on Putin. But all of Putin's allies, the most important being China, are looking at Putin's weakness. There are reports, again, we have no idea, that the Russian army didn't try to prevent the Wagner Group from taking the Russian city, Rostov, I think it is, and they didn't have any problem, the Wagner Group, advancing 120 miles outside of Moscow. Okay, again, the reporting you got to be skeptical about. But this is a humiliation for Vlad. And as far as the Ukraine war goes, he's done. Who's going to fight it? The Russian military can't fight it. They need these murderers to do the dirty work because the Russian army is so weak. So the Ukrainians are like, all right, we're going to counterattack and we're going to retake all the territory and all this business. And then China's going, we didn't figure this was going to happen. So whenever you do something like that, whenever you make that kind of a bold move that involves conflict and violence, unintended consequences will arise. So if China invades Taiwan, believe me, there are going to be unintended consequences for China and the world that are just going to be staggering, as Putin is finding out with Ukraine. Now, here in the United States, There are apologists for Putin. It's incredible. There's no doubt Putin violated international law and is a war criminal. Right? As tens of thousands of women and children are dead and millions of people are displaced because of Putin. One guy. Yet, there are people who go on television and stick up for him. Go.
The truth is coming out that this war was not started by Russia, that Russia begged us not to try and drag Ukraine into NATO. We ignored Russia, and Russia made it very clear that they were going to defend their national interest. All they wanted was neutrality for Ukraine.
I mean, that guy is, I can't even believe that he was allowed that kind of a forum. It's staggering. Robert Kennedy Jr., and he's going to have a town hall on News Nation Wednesday, and I'll be doing the pregame show on that. Robert Kennedy Jr. is sticking up for Putin. I have no idea why he would do that. But, and you know, there are the people as well. So, wrapping this thing up, a disaster for Vladimir Putin. His credibility as a fearsome leader is shot. Pardon the pun. Good thing for Ukraine and the world because Russia's power is weakened, but there will be more to come here. Not over by any means. So I walked to the pitching mound and signaled to the bullpen for the big right-hander, Colonel David Hunt, our go-to military guy, who joins us now from Scarborough, Maine. Did I report and analyze that succinctly, Colonel?
Yeah, you read my talking points perfectly. Well done. That was very well done. Yeah, no, for example, the town Rostov that he first takes, which is about 600 miles outside of Moscow, is the town that houses the Russian military unit headquarters that's running the Ukraine war. Not a shot fired from there. You also mentioned 125 miles. That's a long way to go with tanks and artillery being towed, et cetera. And I think the distance is important because the Wagner Group commander doesn't get any help from the Russian military particularly from logistics people, which he gets, Wagner gets all of his supplies from. It's possible to look at, if he'd gotten 60 miles outside, he might have had more Russian group commanders join, but he didn't. And he cuts a deal. You're right, he's not long for this world. What's been very consistent about Putin is he kills everybody all the time who's against him. I also think one other thing.
Go ahead.
Putin's protected by over almost 200,000 Praetorian guards. That's a massive amount of soldiers that protect him. That's not easy to break through.
Okay, but I don't know if they want Putin anymore. You know, this is such a humiliation. Okay,
yeah, no, nobody, yeah.
Right. Who wants True. Putin? Nobody. So the Praetorian Guard, as Julius Caesar found out, could turn pretty quick. But let's advance the story. So now Putin doesn't have a spear point in Ukraine anymore. They're gone. This Wagner group is gone. They're not going to fight for him anymore in Ukraine. You can't.
Nope.
Their commander is gone. They're gone. These are all criminal thugs. They're probably deserting and running to get out of Russia right now as we speak. The Wagner group also has units in Africa and the Middle East. They cause trouble all over the world at the behest of Putin. They're paid to cause trouble in every country that Putin wants to destabilize. You would think that that would cease. So the Russian military footprint is weakened all over the world, not only in Ukraine and Russia. Am I right?
Absolutely. And it's a weakness during a counteroffensive by Ukraine that the West, led by us, must drive a wedge through, and they only got about a week to 10 days to do that. Russia is in disarray. And that is a time to attack. The problem is we still got to get the tanks and aircraft that we promised Ukraine in there, and they're not there yet.
Okay. And if I were Ukrainians, I wouldn't be counting on them to be there. But as I wrote in my message of the day on BillO'Reilly.com, which everybody should go every morning and read, it's free for everybody, you have a situation now where Putin is so weakened in the eyes of the tyrants. Xi, the Mullers, they're all watching it. Saudi Arabia, the nation that just puts that finger up to the wind. You know, they're kind of moving over there to Russia. Now, all of them are going to pull back. And Putin himself, there's no good news on the horizon for Vlad. I mean, how long you think he's got in there? Do you think he can hold on?
No, I think you've got within 3 months. I don't think this is, as you've mentioned, this story's not over. Advancing the story is, how long does Putin have? How does this affect the war with Ukraine and Russia? Is the West capable of exploiting this weakness and stop talking about how weak Putin is, excuse me, and get the new tanks and helicopters and the jets in there to make a difference and end this?
The answer is no, they're not. But we have good U.S. intel assets in Russia. We have them, CIA,
yes.
NSA. We pay them.
Yes.
They're all over the place, okay? So I think that the Biden administration, Biden himself, I don't even know if he knows it was a mutiny. But the U.S. intel certainly does. And their job should be to foster as much chaos as possible inside Russia now, to call on, you know, demonstrations and everything they can do just to create crisis after crisis after crisis, which they're pretty good at doing that, the American intel services.
Yeah, there are actually units inside the intelligence community, as you know, that they do it for a living. And you could go at the expat Russians. The Russians that are inside Russia don't want Putin. I think those are the guys who are flying the drones. I think you have to obviously expand that as you put pressure back on the Ukraine-Russian and try to get this a two-front war in which Putin feels pressure inside the border and outside the border. But
right.
That takes coordination and effort. And if they haven't planned this ahead of time, we're going to lose the opportunity.
Yeah. I don't have any faith in the Biden administration's ability to deliver any hardware or NATO. But after writing Killing the Killers, and I know you read that book, the intel services are still pretty solid about hunting down and hurting the bad guys, despite Putin's, Biden's incompetence. They're still pretty solid there. So we'll see. Would you please follow this? And if you see anything, you know, as long as your, you know, black T-shirts are starched, just let us know and we'll put you on. Because we want to get
the problem is, the problem, Bill, is you can't handle this. You can't wear this. You couldn't get close to this. You can't wear this.
Yeah, I don't want to have a tourniquet under my jacket. I don't want to do that. I mean, I know.
Come on.
Colonel David Hunt, everybody. Give him a round of applause. I hope to see you soon, Colonel. Thanks for opening us up.
Thank you for listening to the No Spin News Weekend Edition. To watch the full episodes of the No Spin News, visit BillO'Reilly.com and sign up to become a premium or concierge member. That's BillO'Reilly.com. Sign up and start watching today. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.